We are straight up at 8 o'clock. It's a Wednesday, and with the Wednesday 8 o'clock chime comes our conversation, as we do each and every Wednesday. Laureen Gilbert is the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, and she joins us for a moment for a conversation on the economy. A very good morning to you, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed.
How are you today?
Great. Everybody did well after the storm.
Oh, my. Yeah, it was coming down in sheets. And I know you're out of town, but you're experiencing that same storm system, right?
I am. I think it's just, thankfully, it's not tornadoes.
Right,
I feel
right.
for the people obviously affected by that. Right. Terrible
yeah.
event.
We've been talking about it for a couple of days and giving out the Red Cross number and ways that people can help there.
Good.
Thank you for mentioning that. This signal, by the way, I love this signal. It's clear. I want to tell everybody she's using the most up-to-date technology possible.
That's right. Our voice over IP phone system for our office where we can be anywhere in the United States, and it sounds just like we're right next door, so it's nice.
It really does. It really does. Let's talk about right now. You're traveling around. Omicron fears are now hitting the travel industry. We know that. I'm wondering, could it also blow up a return to the office? We'd been discussing for a few weeks about this next year, these next 3 months, maybe more people getting back into the office. Could Omicron blow all that up?
Well, I hope it doesn't, Ed, because what we're seeing with Omicron is it's transmissible, very transmissible. It is less deadly. And actually, I just read yesterday, it's only representing, I think it's 2.9% of the cases in the United States right now.
Right.
So the COVID that's going around is not necessarily, fully Omicron. It's still a spread of either, Delta or the original COVID. So whatever it is, I think that the getting back into the office for many people is healthy, just like getting children back into schools and trying to help all of us get back to some sort of normalcy. Although, now in California, the mask mandate is there again for indoors. I know that's starting up again. So, I think it's a matter of figuring out how do you continue to do your work and travel or do what you want to do, but also be careful while you're doing those things. And hopefully that means that, from our perspective, as far as the economy is concerned and when it comes to investing, the Omicron, what it's meant is another slowdown to growth, but not a stopping of growth, not a recession. So we don't anticipate a recession out of it.
Okay. All right. I do want to tap on inflation, and I'll save the best for last when you and I talk about inflation. But I did, something caught my eye yesterday that I just had to ask you about. We're seeing that Germany is teetering on the brink of recession this winter as supply bottlenecks and a wave of new coronavirus cases there hobble their economy. And we've always talked about this being an international market that we're part of. What does that mean for our markets?
Well, Germany's issues have a lot to do with all of Europe. Germany has been the strongest part of the European Union economically. And so with Germany having issues, that's going to make it difficult for Europe. I mean, they're still behind us in the recovery, and that means they could stay behind us, and the whole international markets are having bigger issues. So we still favor U.S. over international, and I'm not as concerned about Germany and affecting us as I am China's effect on the global economy. China represents a much greater impact on the global economy than Europe does or Germany does. So certainly something to be watching with Germany's effect on Europe, but I don't see a spillover to us with their issues.
And you just mentioned something that clicked off a light in my head. So are we dependent on China having a powerful economy? Are we dependent on them also having a good economy? Or do we benefit if their economy slips a little bit?
Well, we're very interdependent, very interdependent nations, and because of trade, and because, you know, we rely on goods coming from China. So we are very dependent on China. And I think that that's one of the things that's come out of the COVID story, is that how can we not be as dependent upon China? How can we not be as dependent on them for parts? You know, because what we see is that we have this supply chain issue, and if you're missing one little widget, you can't make those bigger parts. And so how can we avoid that? And I think that's where many companies are looking to move some of their manufacturing away from China, move it to Vietnam or other areas in Asia. And then, you know, what can we do to make sure we're not as dependent upon them? But because they're such a large part of the global economy, no matter what, if we're not dependent upon them for parts, it still can affect. That there's an old saying that, you know, if China sneezes, the world gets a cold. So that's one of those sayings, that because their impact is so great. So definitely something to continue to watch. We haven't had a contagion as a result of the Evergrande story, but that story is still going on. There's more defaults happening, a greater story in China, something that we are watching very carefully.
Okay. All right. And that whole China sneezing, the world catching a cold. Wow. How prophetic was that? Now we're finding that inflation tops the list of complaints among U.S. consumers. Prices for everything we know, like food and energy and shelter, autos, vacation, everything is climbing. Is it time for the Fed to raise the rates?
Yeah, so a couple thoughts there. So what the CPI told us this last week is that inflation was at levels that we haven't seen since 1982. November prices were up 0.8% month over month, which gave us a 6.8% year over year number. That's very large. So the question now is that a peak of inflation that will start to go down? So let me give you my take on that. I do think that we're going to start seeing inflation numbers slowly come down from that 6.8% year over year number. However, I do think it's going to be elevated beyond pre-pandemic levels. And the major reason is shelter. Shelter represents 40% of that number. And we don't see anything changing when it comes to shelter. In fact, rental rates lag. There is a huge lag in rental rates going up based on housing prices going up. And we've seen housing prices go up 20% many areas year over year. So the same effect is going to happen on rental rates. So we're going to continue to see rental rates going up. That's going to keep inflation numbers higher, but we see it coming down. Now, back to your question about the Fed. The Fed has been focused more on unemployment than they were on inflation. And they told us all along, we're going to let inflation run hot until unemployment comes down. Well, unemployment has come down. We're basically at full employment once again on those top line numbers. I know there's many people that are still displaced, but overall, our unemployment numbers have come down significantly. So given that, it is time for the Fed to raise rates. We do expect the Fed to raise rates, and we expect them to raise rates more than they are indicating. And so what does that mean? What does that mean for the stock market? What does that mean for the bond market? Right. Well, when the Fed raises rates, the S&P 500 actually tends to do just fine. It adjusts to the rising rate environment. Where the impact is greatest, it's on core fixed income. And I think that's where many investors are not focused, may not know what to do. And it is time to be very tactical. Tactical on the fixed income side, tactical on the equity side. It's going to be a fundamental story on the equity side, and it's going to be it's got to be this idea of flexibility on the fixed income side, moving away from what I would call core fixed income and being invested in other areas of the market. For instance, floating rate bank loans. And the reason is, as rates go up, those yields go up. And that is something that we have in our portfolios, are those floating rate bank loans. So those are just some examples, Ed, as the Fed starts to raise rates and what people should be thinking about and expecting.
Excellent. Excellent. Let me ask you the layman question that I thought of as you were speaking there. This past Friday, the five-year break-even inflation rate was at 2.76%, which was below the November high of 3.17. Is there ever the perfect break-even? Is there a perfect number for the break-even inflation rate? Is it zeros straight across?
Well, let's remember what the break-even rate is. It's the difference in the yield of Treasury and inflation-protected Treasuries. And so there needs to be a level of inflation, or we're in deflation, and deflation is not what you want in an economy. That's called the depression, right? So we don't want deflation. And we want a little bit of inflation that's not out of control inflation. And so what the break-even rate is telling us, though, is that we're expecting, kind of what I was saying, we're expecting inflation to go down. And that's what that break-even rate is telling us. It's saying 5 years from now, it's expecting a 2.76%. So that is, and that came down from 3.17% before. So we're, just back to what I was saying, we're expecting that 6.8% year-over-year number is going to start going down, but not back to 2%, okay. Right? We don't see it going back to pre-pandemic levels. We do expect it to be more elevated, and that it's going to take time. I would expect all of 2022, we expect elevated inflation, maybe in 2023, getting back to 2.5% or so. That would be what I'm thinking.
Okay. All right. You and I are going to be discussing 2022 extensively in 2022. But as you look at it now, as you look at the next few months, what are you seeing? What do you have planned? What's going on over there?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So when we look at our 2022 outlook, a few key points. We don't see a recession, as I mentioned earlier. Right. We expect a positive equity markets, probably in the single digits, not as robust as we've seen this year, which were double-digit returns. So probably high single-digit on the equity markets. We do expect, like I was saying a minute ago, it to be a fundamental story and a secular growth story. So we're looking at areas like EVs and kind of the supply chain behind EVs, housing, like I was saying, we expect continued robust housing. Automation, how do we play out the automation story as labor rates continue to go up and companies look to automate different things to help them? And then finally, utility infrastructure and looking at 5G and those kinds of things. So those would be some secular growth thematic stories that we're looking at.
Excellent. And Laureen, how do our listeners find you?
949-748-1177 or wealthwisefinancial.com.
Excellent. You got plans for the holidays? What are you doing the next couple of weeks?
Going to Telluride.
Oh, nice.
Going to do some skiing.
Very, very nice. I'm a little on the jealous side, but excited to see the pictures. I really am.
Thank you, Ed. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Laureen. Laureen Gilbert, President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. That was the Wealthwise moment. 8:14 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Money, 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 money.